Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, I hope you're having an awesome holiday. Holiday 2017. We are rolling into 2018. Thanks for all your support with Talking Metal this past year. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your donations. Thanks for your phone calls. Thanks for everything. I really appreciate it. Keep on using those Amazon links. And if you want to slip in one more PayPal donation, end of the year donation, my PayPal is my email. It's striglmark@gmail.com. I always appreciate those PayPal donations, so thank you for those. And of course, we have Patreon and the Amazon links and all that. You guys know about all that. Anyways, on today's episode, we're going to wrap up the 2017 Best Of coverage. And what we're going to do here, follow me if you will, is we're going to play the most recent episode of my other podcast, one of my other podcasts, Metal Raps. It's with Mitch Joel and Mitch LaFon. And we're talking about more the live setting on this, the Best Of concerts. I saw so many good concerts. Last in Line, that was a great show. I saw Him's final show in the U.S. Loved that. That was awesome. Scorpions, Maiden, so much good stuff. Guns N' Roses. A lot of stuff. Overkill saw this year. So much good stuff this year. Ooh, Enough's Enough, I think I saw. There was a lot of concert activity for me this year. I feel like my wife and I, we got out to at least two or three shows a month. So, you know, everything from Hall & Oates to U2 to Metallica, the whole spectrum. Perfect Circle I saw. So much stuff I saw this year and a lot of fun. Love going to live shows. That's my thing. That's what I love to do is go see live music. So on that note, let's get into a discussion on the best live concerts of 2017 here on Talking Metal. This is my other podcast. I'm playing it in full here on the Talking Metal stream. It's called Metal Raps. Go subscribe to Metal Raps on iTunes because I don't play all the episodes here on the Talking Metal feed. Quite the opposite. I used to play a lot of them, but not anymore. So if you like this show, go subscribe to it on the Metal Raps feed on iTunes. Okay, guys? All right, thanks. And please visit talkingrock.net. I'll talk to you next week with a brand new interview. We got Spider from Power Man 5000, Michael Swede, Jeff Tate. Got a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of stuff in the vaults for you guys interview-wise that I've been sitting on. So stay tuned for a lot of interviews coming your way. Actually, probably before next week, probably later this week, I'll get you some of those. All right, later. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Love you guys. Here is Metal Raps, the recent most recent episode of Metal Raps.
Well, hey there, and welcome to episode number 43 of Metal Raps. My name is Mitch Joel, and as always, we are joined by Talking Metal's Mark Striegel. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man, how are you? And of course, we can't do this show without Rock Talks with Mitch LaFon. Mitch LaFon!
No, you can't. It is essential that Mitch LaFon is here. He's the music geek in this trio.
I think we're all pretty geeky. I don't know.
Which is why we're doing this. Yeah.
I don't know if we do this. So last episode, in episode 42, we looked at the albums that really blew our mind in 2017. And as we finish up this year, thought it would be good to sort of sit down and think about the live shows that really blew us away in 2017. And for me, if I will be so bold as to start, I can't think of a bigger, more known band in the genre than, for me, Metallica. And while I know we recorded a couple episodes back in the earlier part of the year discussing the set list and you know, I know, Mark, you had some real disappointment around that show. Yeah. I would still make the argument that this band is definitely mine, maybe our generation's Led Zeppelin, and that when these four guys get up on stage, it is a sonic experience that is just very rarely replicated by other rock bands. And while I totally agreed with you that there seemed to be way too much leading off of Hardwired to Self-Destruct, I also was coming at it from a different place where, you know, the show before that we had seen, and I think the three of us saw the show together, was the only time they did the on-demand all-request show, which was here in Montreal at Heavy Montreal. And so I felt like I sort of got my kinks out with all of that. And again, the band to me is just unbelievable. And being a bass player, Rob Trujillo to me is just a guy who is delivering night and night again. So when I think about the sort of shows that really rocked my world, and I didn't see a lot of shows this year, Kenley, I spent a lot of time on planes. It was for me, without a doubt, Metallica. Mitch, we'll go to you next. What was one of the shows that really rocked your world this year?
Well, I'll start just quickly with the Montreal Metallica show, because I got to interview Rob Trujillo there. So that was great. But my ultimate show this year, and it was because of band and venue and surrounding the venue, it was Guns N' Roses in Ottawa. The venue in Ottawa is so nice, so up to date, so the security is so well, just everything. And they built it in a place where there's a walking mall, and so you can walk and have supper, and then the band, they came out exactly at, it was either 7 or 7:30, but right on the dot. I mean, they didn't step, you know, 10 minutes late or 3 hours late. And they played for almost 4 hours. It just was non-stop. It was, I believe it was like 34 songs plus all the different solo bits and stuff. And, you know, I was privileged to have access to the backstage. So if a part got too long, I could go run off and get a drink and walk to the bathroom. And so in terms of convenience and just the entire thing, Ottawa, Guns N' Roses this year, just phenomenal. And Slash, man, Slash and Axl, I don't know if they're faking it. I don't think they are, because I don't think you can fake that kind of affection or that kind of je ne sais quoi, but they are just, they're locked in. They are dialed in better than the old days, I think, in terms of how they're functioning on stage and understanding each other and moving together. It's, anyway, Guns N' Roses. There you go.
It's amazing to me that here we sit in 2017 and the first two shows that are killing everybody are actually bands that were dominating literally 2 to 3 decades ago and still doing it. And we've talked at length about Axl Rose. Turnaround he's made. I mean, when I saw him front AC/DC, unbelievable experience. And while I didn't catch this tour, I did not hear one single person leave that show and think, not so great. Everybody that saw GNR was blown away. And listen, nothing but great, great accolades. And that's huge. Mark, was there a show that stood out for you?
You know, I saw a ton of shows this year.
You're like my rock show doula. Like,
well,
you go for me.
I guess it's, my kids are a little older now, so I'm like, you know, we're all right leaving them with babysitters once a week. So it's like I'm back to going to shows like all the time, and there were so many good ones, and I have a laundry list here of them. But let me start with the two that affected me emotionally the most. That, I mean, I get, you know, there's so much history with these bands and memories and, you know, a lot of times their music that they've put out, it's our music. It's almost become, you know, a part of just, you know, the soundtrack to our lives and our past. Rat at M3, the headliner at M3 this year down in Maryland. I was right up front for their performance. They just delivered every song I wanted to hear. Not only the hits, but, you know, some of the more deeper cuts off of Out of the Cellar and Invasion of Your Privacy and so many great songs. I was literally tearing up in the like second row as Rat, Warren DeMartini and Stephen Piercy and Juan back in the band with his just brilliant and beautiful backing vocals. Oh, it was so great. It was so great. I mean, Rat at M3, the headliners at the M3 Festival, so, so incredible. Iron Maiden, I caught them twice on this Book of Souls tour. And again, at the Jersey show, which, you know, was a combination of, like Mitch said, band and venue and set list, and for me, probably alcohol content in my bloodstream. But it was so incredible. The Iron Maiden, June 7th in New Jersey at the Prudential Center. I just loved this show. The crowd seemed so united and together. And again, when I saw him a month later in Brooklyn, New York, the same thing. So great, so great. So those were my top two, I think, of the year for sure.
I'm going to move down to a sort of smaller theater one, but for me, and this is maybe more of a Canadian thing and maybe more for the European listeners, but a really amazing rock trio out of Canada called the Tea Party that I had a sort of minor role in helping out in the early days and was just a huge fan of this power rock. They were celebrating the 20th anniversary of their Transmission album, which did phenomenally well, and they really started injecting more electronic stuff into their very heavy music. And this was a really interesting tour where the management called me and asked me to write a sort of piece about the band that they included in a very limited edition book that you got as part of your VIP package. And so it was just sort of like a culmination of like the year before leading into this year, seeing the tour come together, seeing it go across Canada. And when they came to Montreal, which has always been a special city for that band, it was just an amazing experience where they played the whole album along with a bunch of hits and the entire place was booming. It really sort of was one of those shows that is similar to, I think, what you had with Rat. It just really took me back to that time when I went to music shows without the sort of cynicism of age and just was really a sort of purist and loved watching these bands explore and change and evolve in that sort of speed where each band had to come out every year or so with something new and had to push the gamut forward to sell records. And for me, yeah, that show really was one of them where the band sounded great. They were really into the material. It was a very familiar show and familiar music. It was just comfortable. It was just home cooked meal. It was just excellent for me. Awesome. Mitch, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to go to the beginning of the year to the Poison Tesla Def Leppard tour.
Mm.
New Jersey.
I was so upset about that. Yeah.
I know, but first of all, I had a chance to pick up some of the members of the band and go for lunch with them and take them around town and stuff, which is always fun to do. But, you know, it's just three of the – it's basically 4 hours of top 20 hits of the last 30 years. And it's just big song after big song after big song after big show. You cannot deny that Bret Michaels is a kick-ass frontman. You cannot deny the musicality of Tesla. And Def Leppard just always delivers solid. So just a great night from noon in the afternoon when we were in Old Montreal having lunch all the way through to midnight when we left or 1 a.m. when we left. You know, it was 12 hours of just pure fun. And musically, it was just to sit there and watch them do what they do. Can't complain. Cannot complain.
Yeah, I recall this. I tell this story all the time where obviously I'd seen Poison so much during the heyday and was a big fan of their music. And a couple years back, managed to catch a Bret Michaels solo album, a solo show at Magic City Casino in Florida when I was on vacation. And it was a bit of, you know, one of those outdoor near the casino, a bit sort of like, what's going on here? And I think any other performer might have come up on stage and sort of phoned it in. And this guy just played as if he was playing in front of 20,000 people and gave it his all. And it was one of those sort of big turnaround moments for me where I thought, good on these guys for really, really delivering. And so I agree with you. Kudos to him for being able to pull that off. He's just an amazing character. Let's flip it back to you, Mark. Any other shows that sort of caught your attention this year?
Definitely. I mean, I'll just go through a laundry list here real quick. Marilyn Manson, we saw him in New York. It was the night that the stage prop fell on him. It was the also ended up sadly being Twiggy, Jordy White's last show with the band because of some things that came down on him in no pun intended, in other ways a little bit later. But this show, I was, you know, my wife wanted to go. I was a big Manson fan back in the day. Hadn't seen them in a number of years. I was like, I wasn't like totally excited for the show. But when I got there, he just pulled out all the old classic songs that I used to love. He was so good. You know, 55 minutes into the set, it ended due to him being injured. But it was 55 minutes of the greatest industrial metal rock stuff that you could ask for. And he was potent and on fire. It was sad it ended so soon. But it was 55 minutes of the greatest show that you would want. And I loved it. Guns N' Roses at the Prudential Center in Newark. Again, Mitch kind of covered that. I mean, it's so good. And now that they're out there, you know, this is my third time seeing them since the Slash Duff Axel reunion. And it almost seemed like they were more comfortable than ever on stage with one another. And the show was just so great. And I truly, I think I enjoyed it more than seeing them open the tour, you know, the reunion in Las Vegas or the stadium tour, the arena tour in New Jersey, or the arena show in New Jersey, so great in 2017. UFO and Saxon, I saw them in a tiny theater way out in western New Jersey. UFO was not all that great, but Saxon just delivered. They stole the show. They played before UFO, and UFO came on, and it was like it was sad because the crowd was just spent. Saxon had destroyed the place. So good. Can't wait to see them in 2018 with Black Star Riders and Judas Priest. Anthrax, saw them 15 minutes from my house, the Wellmont Theater in Montclair, the opening night of their tour with Killswitch Engage. Just destroyed. So good. Anthrax, always so great. They've never been better than they are in the studio or live. They're so good. If you haven't seen Anthrax lately, do yourself a favor. See them. Let's see. Overkill, saw them play live at the Starland Ballroom, another great show. A Perfect Circle, Queens of the Stone Age. U2, not metal, but so great. Saw them on the Joshua Tree tour.
I missed that tour.
Yeah. Disappointments of the year for me in the live setting were Queen with Adam Lambert, which I definitely don't recommend, and Metallica again. I feel like just too many new songs, and I don't know, didn't vibe with me for whatever reason. But yeah,
we'll win you back.
I think you forgot one, Mark, that I quite enjoyed, but Scorpions and Megadeth.
Yes.
Now
at the Garden. So good.
To understand, for me, I was in my Scorpions mode with like a 260 song playlist, playing them every day as I walked it. I was in this like total zone, and the Scorpions happened to have a show right. So it was like a total, you know, religious experience for me at that time. Had they come a month later or a month before, it might not have been this, but anyway, the Scorpions and Megadeth, and it was in this new place in Quebec called, or in Montreal or Laval, I guess, called Place Belle. It was the first show ever. And it was glorious. I had second row seating, and the whole thing was just spectacular. Scorpions just never disappoint. They just don't disappoint. And I'll add another one that was very surprising, Autograph at the Brass Monkey in Ottawa. I mostly went because I know the folks at the Brass Monkey, and I'm sort of the rock reporter guy, and so I should go see this band. Yep. Having zero expectations, I expected it just to be, I'll see three songs and head home and get to bed at a reasonable hour. And they were great. I mean, just absolutely engaging. Yep. The songs were great. The band was great. They couldn't have been nicer guys. They didn't just sit around and talk to the rock report. They got out there and they mingled with the entire crowd. No pretension, nothing. And they just delivered whatever it was, 90 minutes of rock and roll that was just pure in its form. So yeah. Kudos to Autograph for change. Well, I don't know if I want to say changing my mind, but I went in there going, all right, I'm here. And I left there going, oh, yeah. Do you have a CD for sale? I need to buy it. And I did, actually. And I spent my $15 or whatever it was.
I feel like we're going from
both of those. I saw Autograph in 2017 and Scorpions with Megadeth at Madison Square Garden, their first show there since 1984. Both Autograph and the Scorpions, I'm with you 100%. The Scorpions especially. That was just a magical night. So good.
Yeah. And Megadeth, don't forget Megadeth. Eh? They were great on that night as well. It wasn't just the Scorpions. So, yeah.
I feel like I'm moving into a bit of a softer ranger, but I'd end on another show that I saw this summer that I thought was phenomenal, which was Toto. And they've been out on tour. They have a brand new bass player, Sven von Schreck, who I actually happened to have on the show and happened to have a chance to sit down and interview for the show live. But they were playing, again, in Montreal, where I live, at Place des Arts, which is just an amazingly great sounding theater. And boy, oh boy, you know, Toto is one of those bands where if you don't know them, you think Africa and Hold the Line and 80s and that stuff. If you do know them or you're a musician, any musician wants to be a part of that band at one point. And it's just one of those, they were just slamming and rocking. You would think these guys were a bunch of 20-year-olds the way that they were commanding that stage. And they were just phenomenal. Hey, listen, before we take off, I thought it would be fun to also just let's take a little peek into 2018 and talk maybe about one thing that we're really looking forward to this coming year. I'll lead off. There is this band. I've spoken at liberty about Robert Mason being one of my favorite singers, Lynch Mob, now in Warren. So Robert is sort of going back to his buddies in Lynch Mob with George Lynch and Mick Brown on drums and pulling in Jeff Pilson too. And they're coming out with an album called the band's called Superstroke, I think. I don't know if that's the working title or the permanent title, but basically right. What we're talking about is Dokken being fronted by Robert Mason. And again, I think awesome. It's easy. Yeah, it's easy to roll your eyes, but if you listen to that second Lynch Mob album that Robert is on, and then you think about bringing Jeff Pilson in on bass with all his production and writing skills, and I just cannot wait to hear what these four guys have come up with.
And when I say it sounds awesome, I mean on paper it sounds awesome. I can't wait to hear this.
It's going to be great. And they're signed to Frontiers. The album doesn't have a title yet, but should be out soon. And yeah, that's going to be great. I mean, listen, whatever Pilson has done with Foreigner, for example, for the last couple of decades, he's reinvented that band. That guy's talented. And what a combination. Mason, you can't go wrong with Mason. So yeah.
That's going to be cool. Mitch, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I've got four, with a Superstroke being one of them, but I'm going to give you the one that I'm most excited about. And people are going to go, what are you talking about? It is a band called Corleone. And it features Leo Leone, the guitarist of Goth Art, or Gothard, is how they like to say it, and Ronnie Romero, who's the lead singer of Lords of Black, but also part of Richie Blackmore's Rainbow. And they have gone back and re-recorded songs from the first three Goth Art albums. And they've come up with some original stuff. Frontiers is going to put this out. I've had a chance to hear some of the tracks. And you never thought that Steve Lee, who was Gothard's singer who passed away, could ever be replaced or be equaled. But holy mackerel, this Ronnie Romero kid. Wow. And so I'm just really, really excited. You look at it on paper and you go, oh, yeah, they're recutting the original. And you go, oh, why? You can't replace Steve Lee. I mean, it's like you know, doing Stone songs without Mick Jagger. And then you hear this and you go, okay, I'm down. I'm good. So Corleone, you know, pay attention to that. I think folks are going to be pleasantly surprised. And of course, the plan after this is to become an own touring recording act and doing mostly original music. But yeah, you're going to love this. And Henna Habiger, who's also Gothard's drummer, is also part of this project. So that's yeah, you're going to love that.
That looks interesting. Mark, what are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, I had the pleasure of being one of the first people, not to brag, but one of the first people ever to hear the new Judas Priest record. I heard every song except one song, and it is absolutely mind-boggling. You know, when Black Sabbath did 13, it was a really good, I'd call it close to a masterpiece, but I really feel like what Judas Priest is doing with this upcoming record, Firepower, even takes it a step further. They really have touched upon every era of their catalog on this new record, sometimes all within one song, and you're going to hear Rob Halford sing like he hasn't sung in years. That beautiful, clean singing voice that we don't hear anymore. We know he can shriek and shout and scream and do those heavy metal you know, squeals, but we're going to hear him sing again, like we haven't since, like, you know, the old, you know, Sin After Sin and Sad Wings of Destiny. He revisits old vocal stylings that will just blow your mind. The songwriting is great. And again, every era of the band is, you know, from Sad Wings to Painkiller and everything in between is touched upon on this new record. So look forward to this, guys, because it is great. And just a plea here. I want to see Cinderella back together in 2018.
Me too. That'd be fun. Yeah.
One of the biggest disappointments as far as live shows go for me in 2017 was the Tom Kiefer band. He had like 15 people on stage with him and, you know, doing the blues and then playing some Cinderella songs, but they don't really sound exactly right because Cinderella isn't playing them. And enough is enough with the Tom Kiefer band. It's time to put that aside. And I don't care if Jeff LaBar is on drugs or drinking or whatever. Who cares? Let's just get it back together.
Eric, pull it together.
Jeff, Fred, and Tom, we need Cinderella back in 2018. There's all four guys are alive. They're all still making music. They you know, need to just set whatever the differences are aside and get this thing going, because the world is ready for Cinderella to return in 2018.
Do you feel the same way about Sebastian Bach and Skid Row?
Yeah, I do, although I feel Cinderella was a more important band for me. I love Skid Row. They're great. And Sebastian is singing better than ever. But for me, Cinderella was, you know, I connect more to them emotionally. And I just need Cinderella back in my life. I need to see Cinderella live again, you know. So
yeah. I'm down with that
in 2018. Because enough is enough with this Cinderella or this Tom Kiefer solo stuff. It's just like, God.
Hey, enough's enough touring in 2018 with Bullet Boys. That's you can get that. Mitch, I don't know if we have time for anything else, but I've got two more I just want to throw out there as sort of addendums if possible.
Go quickly. Let's editorialize less.
No editorializing, but Age Sten Nilsen, who was formerly of the band Wigwam, does a Queen tribute show out in Norway, has a band called Ammunition. They have a new CD called Ammunition, and he sent me in advance. It is absolutely stunning, pure rock from Norway, and that is coming out at the end of January. And then a band from Sweden called The Poodles. Yes, The Poodles, they've been around for a decade or more. Horrible, horrible band name, but they have a new album called Prisma. I haven't heard the whole thing. I've heard a few select tracks, including their Depeche Mode cover, and just a fun rock band. And so Sweden and the sort of Scandinavian countries are just going to be pumping out some great European rock for us in 2018. So check out The Poodles and Ammunition.
Ah, The Poodles. Great. name. That's a great way to wrap up, actually, for 2017. It's been a lot of fun thinking about all the great shows that have happened this year and, of course, what we're looking forward to coming up next year. My name is Mitch Joel. You can always find me at MitchJoel.com or check out my other podcast where I'm trying to build the largest oral history of electric bass players over at NoTreble.com/groove. Mark, let people know where they could find you.
Yeah, I'm currently setting up a new website. It's called TalkingRock.net. So do me a favor and check that out. And, of course, there is the Talking Metal podcast, too.
Awesome. Yeah. And, Mitch, where can people find you?
The podcast is Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Easy to find on iTunes and all over the place. Just Google it. And, of course, on Twitter, at Mitch LaFon. And there you go. There's a lot of Mitch out there.
Yeah, well, happy holidays to everybody. Hope you have a safe and healthy holiday and healthy new year. And we will be back, as we always are, with episode number 44 of Metal Wrap sometime in January 2018.